morning. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. What a weather week this has been. Over 5 inches of rain at our house in Orlando this week. Incredible. Lots of rain in South Florida. We desperately need it. And a cold front will be coming through next week. It'll be in the low 70s to 60s for Thanksgiving Day. Just a beautiful way to have Thanksgiving, but it'll be nice and sunny. So I'm looking forward to that. Good morning, Lizzie. How was your week?
I'm doing good. It was great. It was, all this rain almost made me want to step out in front of a speeding semi. I'll be honest with you. I am not a water, I'm a water person. I'm not a rain person. I hate the dreariness of rain.
Oh, don't move to Scotland.
Okay, no.
Scotland or Oregon, you know, and so one of those two. I mean, I love it, though. It soothes me inside. I could have it that way all the time. It's good cup of tea drinking weather, and I could have it drizzle all day long with the overcast skies. It almost looked yesterday, okay, don't panic out there, but it almost looked like it could snow. I felt like it was up in New England. I can't hear you, hon.
I'm sorry. It's funny because when we have that type of weather, I call that Florida snow because of the way the mist, and it's not solid rain. It's not a sprinkle, but it's a more of a mist. And that does remind me like of the New England style of getting like a little bit of that rain. So I was on Facebook and I was calling us Floradle for Seattle and Florida together.
I love that. That's great. We want to welcome all our new listeners in Port St. Lucie, the Villages, Houston, Dallas and Pearland, Atlanta. We love that you're all listening, and so welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. Palm Bay got over 11 inches of rain in 3 days.
Oh, easily. I mean, I could be wrong on a meteorologist, but I think like in Lake County, we easily got 12 inches.
Easy. And then Sanford got 7 inches. Orlando got 9 inches. Titusville got 5 inches. Kissimmee got over 11 inches of rain. And DeLand got over 8 inches of rain. So Melbourne was 13 inches. So South Florida really got a lot of rain. So we'll be, Carol Cloud Bailey is coming up. She's the yard doc. And she's going to be giving us pointers on poinsettias.
Ooh.
Poinsettias. And and she'll just tell us. She had some plants die because of all this rain. So we're not used to it. And it's just a good example of be careful what you pray for. Because when you get it, then, you know, it's not as good as what you think it's going to be. Or it doesn't come in the amount that you want. So we've been in this drought. And since January, we've been in a drought. And so it's just something that we got a lot of rain this week. We did need it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
That's the thing. I'm not complaining. I like rain. I have no problem with it. But yeah, my sunflowers looked at me and they were actually crying. They put their heads down completely.
Where's the sun? Well, we got a great show lined up for you today. I am going to be answering some gardening questions also about how to identify the holiday cactus. You know, we have the Thanksgiving cactus. We have the Christmas cactus.
Whoa. What? Thanksgiving cactus? What is that?
That is the holiday cactus that you see blooming right now. But how can you identify them when they're not blooming? And so we'll be talking about that Christmas and then the Easter cactus, which is easy because it's Easter time when it blooms. So, okay. I mean, that's pretty easy. But the other two, I had trouble with it. I had a great enlightenment this week. And so I'm really, I'm very excited about it. Also, too, you know, this is a time, get your frost blankets, because I know we're going to have an El Nino winter. It's going to be wet this year. And so that's good for us, because we need to catch up and with our rainfall. But when we say it's going to freeze, when you go to the store, you're not going to be able to find it, because everybody has grabbed it in a just like hurricane prep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
You go to get a gallon of water and there's no water to be anywhere found. And so get your frost blankets now. I call them frost blankets. They're more like frost cloths. And so that way you can put it down in time so that you can help protect your tropical plants. We also had a very big announcement from the USDA about our zones in here in Florida changing. And we are now a different zone than we were last week. And so what does that mean? We'll be talking a little bit about that throughout the program. And we're going to be taking your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967. Write that down, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680. Let us know what your morning beverage is. I've got my delicious cup of tea here. Again, good cup of tea weather all week. So I love doing that. And we don't see it a lot. Here in Florida, when we have typical rain periods, we don't get it for weeks and weeks and weeks, or cold temperatures for weeks and weeks. 3 days usually at the most, even with our storms and hurricanes, 3 days at the most is what we usually get, 3 to 4 days. And it's good for the garden.
Yep. I'm still calling shenanigans on our meteorologists, though, because they said that this was not a tropical depression, but...
I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I think we needed it, and that's what we do need our storms for. Our hurricane season is very important to us. We just pray that it doesn't do a lot of damage, and we just get some winds and some rains, and everybody's safe, and our homes are good, but we do need it to drop that rainfall that we get. Our aquifer needs it, and so... It's very, very important for us to do that. What can you be growing this time of the year? Well, the vegetables are all cool season vegetables. You can do transplants or you can still do seeds. Beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, collards, endives, kohlrabi and lettuce, onions you can plant, and leeks you can plant right now, radicchio, spinach, Swiss chard, and turnips. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This morning, I am really so excited to welcome back Carol Cloud Bailey. She's an experienced horticulturist and landscape counselor. She received her bachelor's degree from the great University of Florida and her master's degree from Florida A&M University. She has more than 30 years in the green industry. She's been a business owner, a teacher, an extension agent, and she also has been a manager, and she currently is an adjunct professor at Palm Beach State College, and she is a landscape counselor. She's called the Yard Doc. And she is a columnist for Treasure Coast newspaper. She does a lot. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. And so you got a lot of rain this week. How much did you get in Hobie Sound?
Well, in Hope Sound, we got about 4 to 6 inches. We're in that band between the northern section and further South Florida that got 12, 14, 16 inches, but right along the coast in Hope Sound, 4 to 6 inches was about it. It was enough to get a nice soaking on the ground, but not too bad.
Not too bad, but I know you lost some plants, or they really couldn't handle, 18 inches of rain. So what happened?
Because I took I had to go further south to look at some trees for some folks this week. And as I got further south into that 12 to 14 inch band, I noticed lots of trees that were in buffers and barriers along many communities that had been pruned way up high. They just cracked, fell over. Some of them fell over at the roots as the ground softened, which often happens in hurricanes. But the wind was quite serious. We had some 60 mile an hour gusts. And even higher further south, and those top heavy tops just broke out of the trees.
Now, so Lizzie was saying this morning that she thinks that we really did have a tropical storm or a depression coming through. Is that what you think?
Well, I could see the low pressure circulation that occurred, and I kept saying, well, that looks like that's going to wind up. It wanted to be tropical, but the weather and the water's even cooler, that I thought it was going to turn into a nor'easter, which often comes across Florida and that goes up the East Coast. But yeah, it definitely had that low pressure circulation into it.
So you're a UF alumni and also with A&M University. So what was your focus and studies on at the university?
Well, University of Florida, I basically studied environmental horticulture, but one of the most interesting things I did is an internship in Jacksonville with Loops Nurseries and Greenhouses, and one of their main crops, all those, you make me sound ancient, but all those many years ago it was, is that one of the final crops they did before I went back to school in the fall was they were a supplier of poinsettias for the retail market, and even back in those days, we're talking the 70s, they sent a few to Disney World. And so I learned quite a bit on the commercial production of poinsettias during my internship.
Well, so commercial production means that you propagated poinsettias. How do you do that?
Well, it was really quite simple, though it was messy for sure. Mr. Loop, who was president of the Florida Farm Bureau for years at that range, kept stock plants, which stock plants are just big plants that are grown to take propagation from. And for poinsettias, it happened to be cuttings. That was my job. I went and took the cuttings. We put some fungicidal dust and so forth on the cut because poinsettias, being the U4BAceae, have a milky latex, so you need to get that stopped. And then we stuck those poinsettias into sterile potting soil and on into a mist house. And that was August. For the fall or the winter holidays when we all like to have a poinsettia around.
Wow. So now a really big myth about poinsettias is that they're toxic and poisonous to pets. But is that true?
No, that you are exactly right. It's a myth, and I found out that came from a story back in the 1940s about two children getting sick. Now, being that milky latex, and the U4BAceae that they are, it can cause dermatitis or some kind of skin rash if you ingest them. They can cause a little bit of stomach distress, a gastric distress for your pets. Same thing. They are not deadly poisons. We don't want our pets to eat them. You don't want to eat them. They're not very tasty from what I can tell.
No,
milky latex in it. But what I do worry about is that poinsettias for the home are often produced with pesticides, and that's probably more toxic to your pets than the plant itself.
That makes sense. That's so good. Thank you. And so are there different kinds of poinsettias?
Well, they are. The original Euphorbia pulcherrima, that fancy scientific name that we should all know, came out of Mexico, and I recently found mostly on the Pacific side of the Central America area, and it was brought back to the United States. But we do have a native poinsettia. We call it a wild euphorbia, and I love it as a wildflower in wildflower gardens or even in clumps in your traditional garden. It's got the traditional red bracts, so they're nowhere near as bright and as big, but what a lovely little addition. They bloom on and off throughout the year.
They are in my yard. They pop up. Now, how are they spread? Where do they come from? Because they're popping up in my yard, and I'm going, okay, is it by seed or, you know, they don't have berries on them, do they?
No berries. The true flowers on a poinsettia, whether it be the wild one or the one we use for our holiday decorations, they have very tiny little flowers in cups in the middle. They look like berries, but they're not. I can give you the fancy name, but they produce seeds. They're very tiny seeds, so they spread easily by seeds. And that little tiny bud, whatever you call it, in the middle, that's a great way to pick a poinsettia for your home. Those that still have those cups are younger and fresher. And so when I look to go buy one for the house, I look for those. Those will last longer.
Oh, okay. And so what kind of site conditions do poinsettias need? A lot of people have them indoors, but then after the holidays, they like to plant them outside. Where should they plant them?
Well, they should. Unfortunately for your Central Florida listeners, they are a little frost sensitive, so they're going to need to find a place maybe protected on the south side of the house. Know that if they do get, once they establish, if they do get knocked down, they often come back up. My grandmother, I called her Big Mama, was in Melbourne, and she had some in her yard, and they'd come back every year. But look for a place of full sun. It will take some slight shade, but the biggest thing they need is no light at night. poinsettias are short day plants. In other words, they have to have those days getting shorter, starting about Labor Day, to initiate their blooms and those big colorful bracts. They'll get about 10 to 15 feet tall and wide, so make sure you've got enough space for them.
Well, so that means that, like, after Labor Day, if you have patio lights or lights that come on, or even a street light, that's going to keep them from turning red?
It will, or pink or white or, you know, even some of the new fancy colors on them. I have to say, though, I have a street light about a half a block down the street from me, and I had a big pot on my front patio. And I said, oh, this will never bloom because the street light's going to disturb it. Well, there was enough shade with tall palms and trees between me and that street light that poinsettia filled out and was beautiful. The traditional word is no light whatsoever, but use your judge. I think a street light quite a ways away that still lights up your area is not going to be a problem.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. And so then how much water do they need? Because, I mean, people, I think, overwater here in Florida quite a bit on everything. Do they need a lot of water?
I don't. Remember that the poinsettias you buy in pots to bring in for decoration are usually 3 or 4 plants in a 6-inch pot. Of course, you can buy 10-inch pots or smaller pots or whatever, but they're big plants in little pots. So while you've got them in, I use the old traditional finger method. Stick your finger in the pot. If it's dry, water it. I have found most of the ones that I have need water about every 4 to 7 days, so maybe once a week. And when you water it from the top to the bottom. When you get them outside, water them to establishment. Then after that, they're drought tolerant, but like regular water. So if we have a very dry season, where we go for months without rain, you're going to want to supplement that water a little bit.
So how cold can it get for them?
A frost will definitely do some damage, and a freeze may do really permanent damage. I would think somewhere into the citrus range, because that goes down to 26, but I would think the upper 30s, maybe down to just before frost, they should be okay.
And then one of my last questions is how I've heard that you shouldn't put them near air vents. So
you shouldn't.
Okay, so where can they go in the house?
Well, put them somewhere where they're out of draft, so that's out of air vents. Don't put them on top of anything like an electronic that produces heat. Of course, I worry about water dripping down into that electronic than I do the poinsettias. Put them where your pets can't get to them, and near a window where they can get some bright indirect light would be a great place.
That's great. Now, you're near Hope Sound, which is near Point St. Lucie, and you do landscape counseling as the yard doc. What does that involve, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is go to my website, which is yard-doc.com, and I work throughout Central and South Florida. We can do virtual visits where we can take me out and show me your plant or your landscape, or you can send me an email. That is my initial ccb@yard-doc.com, and we can go from there. If we need to meet by phone or to get together, we can do that.
So that's wonderful.
Take a look at the prop, and we can get some answers.
That's wonderful. Now, you also do a newspaper column. Where do they find that?
Well, the newspaper column is in archive. It is at Treasure Coast Newspapers, so you can find that there. For the newest information, go to my website and look at the blog entries there.
And that's yard-doc.com. Thank you so much, Carol. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I certainly appreciate you coming on and all your tips about poinsettias. I'm going to try and propagate some.
All right. Thank you, Teresa, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
That's wonderful. Carol is just dynamite. And so if you'd like to get a hold of her, that's yard-doc.com or Carol Cloud Bailey if you want to look her up. And that's wonderful. So now it's all about you and your gardening questions. You can give Lizzie a call at 888-455-2967 or you can text 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to thank Carol Cloud Bailey, the yard doc from Hope Sound near Port St. Lucie. She is wonderful, and she's got a lot of information. 30 years there. You got to take advantage of it. If you're in South Florida, that would be great. And you can find her at her website, yard-doc.com.
Yeah, and it was funny because I didn't think my poinsettias that I have planted in the ground from last year were going to turn, because we have a street light on our property out back where they are. And they are turning, but they're turning like a wine color.
Oh.
I need to take a new picture. I took a picture 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to send that one to you because I know that they've adjusted probably since then. But
yeah.
They are... I just want to, they look so velvety. I just want to rub them on my cheek.
That's nice when that happens. How tall are they?
Probably about up to my knees. So that would be, what, a foot and a half?
Foot and a half. Yeah, 2 feet. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. So wonderful. I'm so glad.
I can't believe it, because I thought that they weren't going to turn. I was like, that dadgum street light, and I can't do nothing. And I don't want to put a box over it, because then our dogs are going to go, ooh, a toy. Stupid animals.
Yeah, anyway. And then so I appreciate that. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. We so appreciate everyone, and it's coming up. And, you know, so it's going to be before next Saturday, and we're going to have a best of next week. Right, Lizzie, because mm-hmm. everybody's going to be taking their vacation time.
Yes.
That's good. And so happy Thanksgiving down to Howie and Karen at Peterson's Nursery. We do appreciate you. And stop by. They've got some beautiful hostess gifts if you want to take it as, you know, you're going to someone else's house and you want to take them a gift. A garden gift is always appreciated.
Yes. Something easy also to take care of, too.
Sure. Yeah. So. Make sure you know what you're giving them. And Howie and Karen can really help you out with that. So if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. I know we're going to get to the last 5 minutes of the show, and you're going to remember that gardening question, and we won't be able to take your call. So go ahead, and you can call now or text. And let us know, and we can help you out with it. Rebecca has been really taken a great opportunity to ask a question, and she shares the program with her friends. And so I'm so happy with Rebecca. And so she attached some pictures of her Vanda orchids and her bougainvillea and her prayer plants. And so they have all sorts of spots on them. They're all outside. She lives in Citrus Springs near the beautiful Rainbow River. And she says that the Vandas she always struggles with because they have these black spots. I fertilize with 20-20-20 spray a few times a day and less in cooler months and less when it rains. The spots never completely go away, and my Phalaenopsis have these same spots. They all bloom, but I hate these spots. And so that was just the first paragraph. And so I talked to Rebecca, and, you know, it's important to understand that when you are spraying something here in Florida, we really have a propensity to get fungal diseases due to the humidity and the moisture that we have here in Florida. And by spraying it so many times during the day, plus where it's located, Rebecca and I kind of came to an agreement that they need a little bit more air circulation. So she's going to pull them out away from it. If you have plants on your patio, screen patio, pull them away from the screen so that they can get enough good air circulation all the way around the plant. And then that way you'll reduce the risk of fungal issues. Now, the spots will never go away, and that's kind of a bummer, but at least they'll be healthy. So you can say that this is just spots. Just tell everybody they're freckles. Okay. And so the bougainvillea, she says, I've had for a little over a year, and I fertilize with 20-20-20 every other week, and she dilutes it some. I've never had this awful leaf spot on it until now, and I've used a fungicide and neem oil. I'm going to trim these bad branches. Anything else I can do? When I looked at it, it really did look like a burn. And so, again, I'm not a big fan of liquid fertilizers unless it's vegetables or annuals, okay? And I really, really prefer, and it's recommended better. I recommend that you use a slow-release fertilizer. And that provides the nutrition it needs over a period of time that's better for the plant. And so the fungicide and the neem oil, it looks like it actually did, the neem oil caused some burn. And that could have happened when we had dry periods and with the heat of the sun. And so find out what you have first before you use a pesticide on it and the neem oil. And so we're just going to cut the branches off and start over again. And the prayer plant, she struggled with leaf and brown spot. She sprays with neem oil, and she tried a cup of fungicide. But I think it's just a little bit more of overwatering. And so it gets new leaves, but they all end up looking bad. So let's just cut down on the water. No need to water things every couple of days or every day. Do it once a week if you don't get any rainfall. Let's go to Carrie in Melbourne. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
How are you, dear? I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm good.
I called you a while ago regarding a Turkish fig that I had that was not doing very well.
Uh-huh.
And you had suggested that I try to raise it up from its bed, and I wasn't able to. I ended up cutting it down.
Okay.
And henceforth, it produced like these pups that grew out, I guess, from the roots or whatever. And they really were very they flourished tremendously. The largest of them is about 3 feet tall now and has 7 figs on it, about the size of a golf ball, although they're very hard and they haven't ripened yet. But it continues to put up these little pups. And what I wanted to know is that draining the strength from the, plants that now are established?
Well, figs are basically a shrub. They can be trained into a tree, but you can, like the brown turkey fig, then they can go ahead and keep producing at the bottom. So it basically is up to you on how you want to maintain it. How does your figs look?
This time of year, I have to say it did something very strange. At the top where the new leaves were coming out,
uh-huh.
It like kind of popped that top, and it doubled. Like with my basil plants, I'll pinch the top, and it'll double.
Yes.
It did it itself without me touching it. It just like popped the top, and 2 tops came out. Like it's trying to double itself. But this time of year, the leaves are starting to get like a rust on it, and it's dropping some of its leaves.
Well, that figs are deciduous, so they will lose their leaves in the wintertime.
Interesting.
Okay, so they dropped them. That's normal.
The largest one has 7 figs on it. The others haven't produced any fruit, but they are doing very well, and they continue to put up these little pups around the base of the mother tree is what I called it.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't able to completely eliminate the root.
Right.
I left like a tiny little stump original tree. And they keep growing from that, I guess.
Well, keep them fertilized. The others will probably produce next year. But it sounds like they're doing well, Carrie. So thank you for the update. Thank you to Rebecca for her emails, too, as well. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. You can give me a garden call, 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie will take you right away. And you can also text 23680. And so when we're talking about pictures, and when I noticed that Rebecca sent them, the tips were burned. And so when I say burned, they were just kind of like really dry and crackly on the outside edge. And so this is an easy way to diagnose what's going on. So when you're looking at your plants, if you see the tips that are changing, that means that there's something going on in the root system that you got to check it out. because when it's a nutrient deficiency or when it's a disease issue, you'll see things happening to the leaves from the interior, from the outside or the inside out, both top and bottom. But when it comes directly out of the tips, you got to figure out it's something in the roots. And I was in Winter Park yesterday, and I went to a client's house, and we're discussing what they want to do in their landscape. And the cardboard palms, which were huge, they were like 6 to 8 feet wide, and some of them were like almost 6 feet tall. So these cardboard palms were gorgeous and huge. But the tips of them and coming from the tip into the plant were solid yellow. I've never seen cardboard plants with solid yellow tips and leaves. They're totally green. So when we're talking to her, and I'm going, you know, she's going, what's going on with this, Teresa? And so I asked her, she just recently had her house painted, and they pressure washed the house with bleach. So it didn't get on the plants, and they covered the plants, and it didn't get on. So the plants weren't spotted from the top where it looked like a spray had hit them. But they put so much bleach in the water that the plant absorbed it. And so that's my feeling, is that the bleach had affected the tips and the foliage of the cardboard palms. And so we kind of figured that out. And the rest of the plant looks healthy. It looks fine. And when I talk about bleach and chlorine is not necessarily a bad thing. Plants need it as a micronutrient, but it's the amount that does the damage. Okay, so even when we're talking about water, we're talking about air, you know, it just depends on the amount that you're putting down that you can cause damage with just the simplest, you know, nutrients or, you know, items or pesticides.
You know what? Just one of those things that you just would never think of. And yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah. So I do appreciate it. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, people are kind of saying, oh, don't look at my yard. And you know, this is wrong. I'm so embarrassed. And it's no, you know, gardeners and horticulturists and master gardeners, we love to see problems because then we get to diagnose them. So when somebody has something bad in their yard, we go, hey, wait, you got to come look at this. This is really bad.
You're like the crime scene unit for the horticulturists.
That's it. And so we love seeing bad things, but, you know, don't be embarrassed. You know, that's what we do. And we just kind of look at it, you know, because it's like Carol said, too, about the native poinsettia, the native euphorbia that we get in our yards. And it is a weed, and it's very prolific. And it starts off nice and green, but then it starts to turn red in the center of it. But it's in my yard, and I just pull it every time I see it. But it is a native plant, so I guess a weed is just what you make of it. 1-888-455-2967, or if you'd like to text 23680, that will be great. We'd love to hear from you. And it's been a nice morning this morning for getting outside, and the weather's going to be great this week for all our visitors coming down to Florida and for the family vacation. What are your plans for Thanksgiving?
Cooking turkey, and more turkey, and, you know, just the typical fixings and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So how many do you feed?
Even on, like, every other Sunday or Sunday dinner, it's usually about 20 people.
That's a lot.
I cook for a lot of people. I can't,
you too.
Like, I feel so bad whenever it's just me and Shrek at the house at times. And he's like, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know, whatever you dig out of the freezer. Because it's so hard for me to just cook for two people.
I understand. The way, because growing up, I would peel potatoes, peel tatties for my mom sitting at the kitchen sink. And so, you know, we had six kids and with two, so we fed eight every meal. And so now, though, I can only peel potatoes for eight people.
Well,
I just can't do them for two.
Okay, so a hack that I saw on the social media was you boil your potatoes, or you cut them in half and boil them with the skin and everything on. Then you take like your little cookie, the cookie rack, I guess,
okay,
that's what it's called.
Cookie rack.
All right, rocket science. And then you take it after it's done boiling and you just lay it on there and smush it, and all of the inside of the potato comes through and the skin stays up on top of the rack. You're welcome.
Yeah. But I like eating the potato skins. I like doing that. And so, but that's cookie rack for potatoes. That's a new idea. That's great.
I've seen more than one person do it, so I know it isn't just a hack. Like, it actually works. So I'm excited. I can't wait to do this because. But I'm a person, when I make my mashed potatoes, I always leave the skin on anyway. Yeah, so, but
I do. I do red potatoes and white potatoes and leave the skin on. It's always good. So that's great. So thank you for that hack. I'm going to use that this week because Tony has the cookie rack out. He's getting ready to make cookies for the holidays. So we talked about vegetables, what you can be planting. Flowers. And so this is a great time of the year to be planting in your garden beds if you trying to freshen up for the holidays, planting the annuals, the winter annuals that are out now, the pansies and the stock and alyssum. This is a really good time. And alyssum is so fragrant. It's that little white flower, and they just at night or when you brush by it, smells so good. And, the pansies, they will last you all the way through February, March. So it would just be a great time to do that. Perfect text message is your first name and city, along with your gardening question. And if you'd like to go to our Facebook page, we have so many people that like our post on Facebook, but they haven't liked the page. So
what?
They like our posts, but they haven't liked our page. And so that's Craig and Pat, and go ahead and like our page.
Okay, wait, to their defense, Facebook changed stuff. So I have people who follow me, but there's no option to friend unless you click on the ... Then it gives you all the other options to like and everything else on pages.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so that's a great tip. Thank you so much. Let's go to Lee in Orlando. Good morning, Lee. How can I help
you? Good morning. Thank you for answering my email last week.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I have another problem. Something's eating all my vegetables in my garden. What is the best way to discourage them?
Okay, so something's eating in your vegetable garden. What are they eating?
Well, I had a bok choy. I had a lettuce.
Okay.
First, they ate lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Then now it's bok choy, and they're getting into my broccoli. So I cut all the leaves that I have little as they are. I took it out because.
Okay, so is it holes or is it just eating down to the ground?
Just one leaf at a time, and then, almost not down to ground, but just above the ground.
Okay, so we know they're vegetarians, so I can identify that. I would have to see again the nibble. So is it in the ground or is it in a raised bed?
It's in the ground. Mm-hmm.
It's in the ground. Do you live out in the country?
No,
you live in the city.
I have a small patch in Orlando.
Yeah, so, okay. One, it could be rodents or rabbits. Two, it could be, the caterpillars, a moth larva. So, go ahead. It could be caterpillars. You can spray it with 7 to deter insects. And then if you you can spray it with a rabbit begone deer, there's some products that you can use that will deter rodents and rabbits from eating your vegetables. So I would have to know whether it's an insect or it's a little critter. So if you can identify that for me, send me a picture, Lee, and I'll know better what to tell you. Thank you so much for calling. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We have a great, great second hour coming up for you. You want to stay tuned for that. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.